Tonight's reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 till 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Truth prevail over our unbelieving hearts with those words of power that can never fail. Renew us now, we ask, that we would see Jesus, that we would love you. In his name we pray. Amen. Let me add my welcome to Matzah's. It's great to see you this evening. My name is John. If we've not met, if it's your first time here, great to have you with us. If it's your last time here, great to have you with us. If you're visiting, great to have you with us. Today would have been this guy's birthday. He's the guy sitting down in the chair. David Livingstone would have turned 210 today. He was a Scottish explorer, a missionary in Africa. He was the first European, we just prayed about Malawi. He was the first European to set his eyes on Victoria Falls and Lake Malawi. It wasn't glory that drove him on. It wasn't research. It wasn't even his fight against the African slave trade. Although he spent loads of his life working to end it, he called it the open sore of the world. The thing that drove this guy on was a picture that was painted to him by another missionary called Robert Muffet. It was the picture of the morning sun rising against the backdrop of 1,000 villages and the smoke of 1,000 villages. And the thought of thousands upon thousands of people who didn't know Jesus, who'd never heard of Jesus. Livingstone devoted his life to bring care and to dignity to others. And he wrote, "My great object was to be like Jesus, to imitate him as far as he could be imitated." Because he longed for others to find their hope and their treasure in Jesus. In many ways, he gave up everything for the sake of the gospel. He was a doctor. He gave up a comfortable life in Scotland. He gave up financial security and friends and family. During one season, he wrote 44 letters, but only one of them ever made it to its destination. He was a British explorer, so he was a bit naive. He got attacked by a lion, because he's not the brightest cookie all the time. He suffered violence. On one journey, he was attacked over 30 times. He caught life-threatening diseases, fevers, pneumonia, cholera. He missed his children growing up, traveling through jungle and desert, not the ideal place to bring a toddler. His wife, Mary, basically raised six kids on her own. And when they were old enough, she went to be with him, and she died of malaria at his side. Livingstone lost so much for the cause of the gospel. And yet he said these words. Can we get the next slide, please? He said, "It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us and for us. I never made a sacrifice." Matthew 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field when a man found it He hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I wonder how many of us could echo those words, could agree with Jesus' words. David Livingstone did. He understood. He knew that he had found the greatest treasure and he gave up everything for it. We have one really simple point this evening. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. But not just any old treasure, it is incomparable. There is nothing like it. There is nothing better. It is the greatest treasure. Better than winning the lottery. Greater than the Cullinan diamond, which is in the crown jewels of the British monarch, although I don't think it will be this time. Greater even than the History Supreme, which is the world's most expensive yacht, made from 10 tons of solid gold and platinum, and it was valued at $4.8 billion. If Elon Musk gave up his fortune, it would be worth it. Jesus and his kingdom is the greatest treasure. We've got two simple stories to help us grasp that point. It's like treasure in a field that someone buys. They go and sell everything they have to make sure they can get their hands on that field. Think of the amber room that was lost. Or a famous five-story treasure hidden in the dungeon on Kirin Island. I was walking the dog on the Fokkerberg earlier this week, as I tend to do, and I spotted two guys with metal detectors. They had their headphones on, they were focused, they were waving these metal detectors all over the grass, trying to find treasure, stopping every now and then when it beeped, I guess, checking the ground. My dog Ransom also spotted them, and he bounded over to say hello, and he tried to make off with one of their discoveries. They weren't too impressed. Fortunately, it was only a bottle cap, so they didn't lose too much. If you know that there's treasure hidden there, you will go and you will sell all that you have so you can get it. Or imagine a jewelry dealer who stumbles across a rare diamond at a flea market. They run home. They sell everything they can to go and buy it. Two short stories with a meaning, two parables, making the same point. Matthew does that sort of thing time and again in his gospel. Let's be clear, the point is not that you can go and buy the kingdom of heaven. It's not that the kingdom can be bought. That flies in the face of what Jesus has said beforehand. Back in chapter 5, Jesus has said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who have nothing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Or Matthew 10, when he sends his disciples out, he said, "You received without paying, so give without pay." Or Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you know that you have nothing to offer, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is for those who don't deserve it, those who can't pay for it. You can't get the kingdom because you can earn it or buy it. But Jesus is saying that it is the greatest treasure you could ever find. There is nothing in this life that is worth keeping hold of in exchange for it. The two stories are slightly different, lots of similarities. They both find an unrivaled treasure. They both immediately go away and they sell everything they have to get it. The pearl merchant goes and sells his collection, sold all that he had. He takes it all to a pawnbroker, a Fantley House. Doesn't give his reputation that he's built up a second thought. And he just shuts up shop, hands back the keys, exchanges it all because he knows this treasure is worth it. We know very little about the other person. They're going for a walk one day, I guess, maybe with a metal detector, and they find a treasure in a field. We don't know if he's been searching for years or if he just stumbles upon it. That's not the point. What we do know is that when he finds it, he is single-minded in his pursuit of it. Just like the merchant, he goes and sells all that he has, the car, the Star Wars memorabilia, designer clothes, maybe even his house. He sells everything he has to buy this field. One truth, the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. Three reactions. Joy, first one. Did you see, neither man resents giving everything else up. They don't do it because they think they should. No one forces them to. There's no pressure to do it. Jesus says, verse 44, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. In his joy. Remember David Livingstone? I never made a sacrifice. If it costs you your reputation or your job or all the money that you have in your bank account, if it costs you your friends or your family, if it costs your ambition, if it costs your job, whatever treasures you might have now, rich and vast as they might be, it is worth selling all. These guys both see that. It's a treasure. It costs you everything. It is worth it. Today's Mother's Day in the UK and in Ireland, and I think Nigeria. If you get home tonight, it's probably not too late to call your mum up if you're from any of those places. I need to do that when I get home. My sister very kindly sent me a text yesterday. Hope this isn't recorded. I think it probably is. And she got some flowers for my mum for me. But mum is a wonderful example of this to me. My parents had a wonderful belief that I could do anything that I wanted. They supported me when I decided not to do any work for school to become a drummer. They stood by me when I left that career and went to university. They stood by me when I was a banker working in finance. But the reason my mum is a great mum is that she taught me this. There is nothing in this life that trumps the gospel. And she prayed for me throughout the years that I would know that. In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Is there anything in your life that you don't think is worth giving up? What is your treasure? Some questions to help you think that through over the next few days. How do you spend your time? What are the things that you talk about? What do you think about or dream about? There's joy. Second, there's urgency. Did you see that they don't wait around? They don't consult or plan or think or set up some sort of strategic think tank. They recognize the value, they know there is zero risk, and they act. They don't say, yes, I know that's important to think about, but I want to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend first. They don't say, let me finish my course, and then I'll worry about that. They don't say, let me get that promotion, or I'll think about it later. They find the treasure. They immediately go and they sell all they have to make this treasure theirs. There's joy, there's urgency, it's radical. They give everything, they change their lives. Careers change. They don't try and hold on to their previous treasure. They exchange all for this. They are all in. You can't be a half-hearted Christian. You can't be partially invested in the gospel. Really worth taking some time to think this through. Is there anything in your life that you don't think is worth giving up? Maybe you know someone who has been radically changed when they met Jesus. As a pastor in London, I discipled a couple of men who had just come out of prison, and it was amazing seeing their lives transformed by the gospel. One who had no self-worth at all, who had lost, he'd done some pretty grim stuff, so he'd lost wife and friends and home. But he was found by Jesus, and he went from destroying himself to telling everyone that he met about Jesus, about this hope that he'd found. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. But why? What makes it such a great treasure? We could talk about it being freedom for the prisoner, the year of the Lord's favor. We could talk about restoration, couldn't we? Where victims get to shine again. Transformation and healing for the shamed and the traumatized. We could think about some of the great things that we long for in this world, for peace. Jesus is the King of peace who brings peace. We could talk about an end to poverty, and true equality, and life without damage or climate change. We could talk about the end of suffering and sickness, the end of financial worries and mental health issues and suicide. We could think about how it is a place where all we know and all we enjoy is life upon life. Life in all its fullness, life with only the ups. No more downs. No more broken relationships or loneliness. Life that is bursting with potential. No more decay, no more disappointment, no more aging, no more bad backs. Overflowing with hope and with joy. It is all of those things. It is the greatest treasure, but we are given an even greater reason by Jesus. You see, these parables are sandwiched between two parables, aren't they? Now, we didn't read them, but Jesus explains two parables for us. The parable of the weeds, verses 36 to 43, and the parable of the nets, verses 47 to 50. Cast your eyes up, two verses from our passage, three verses, to Matthew 13, verse 41. Verse 40. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The gospel is such an incomparable treasure because instead of weeping and gnashing of teeth, we get to shine like the sun. Instead of hell, which we deserve, we get heaven. It is a treasure because to meet and to know and to be forgiven by the judge of the last day, today, already, to have the final verdict of that final day announced over your life today, righteous, means you have the most precious gift, worth more than everything else you own, you could possibly ever own. All the money in your bank account, whether that's a lot or a little, Everything you own, every achievement you ever earn, it is all like dust compared to this. We've got to get our heads around this. There is no greater treasure than being forgiven. There is no greater treasure in this whole wide, wonderful world than Jesus, because one day there will be judgment. Because one day sinners will be separated out from the righteous. One day there'll be a gathering, a sorting, destruction, and it will be terrible. Did you see what characterizes it? Verse 42, in that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, down in verse 50, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be a place of tears without end, and of sorrow and darkness and despair. It speaks of anguish and regret. Evil will be punished and destroyed, and only the righteous will be saved. And that makes knowing Jesus more precious than anything else. We find that pretty tough to swallow, don't we? Though we don't like to hear it, our culture rages against it. Elsa in Frozen sings, what does she sing? Where are we? She sings a lot, doesn't she, let's be honest. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. We think we can live however we want to in God's world, with no consequences for the actions that we do. But Jesus disagrees. In the parable of the net, in verses 47 to 50, let me read that. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. Don't worry, I'm sure they've got a fishing license. They've done their tests. A net thrown into the sea, it gathers every kind of fish. There is no escaping this net. Every fish is caught. When it's full, men drew it ashore and sat it down and sorted the good into containers, but the bad they threw away. They threw away the puffer fish and the stonefish and the golden dart frog. But here's a pollock and a carp and a trout. Keep them. Here's a bit of plastic. Get rid of that. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. Jesus is the person who speaks about judgment the most in the Bible. You and I cannot escape it. The close of the age will come. Judgment day will come. It'll be fair, verse 41. It is all causes of sin and all lawbreakers that are thrown in. It is, verse 49, it is evil that is separated out. God isn't mean, he's not vindictive. He always does what is right and fair. And just, we all know evil should be punished. We know that Harvey Weinstein's victims know that. The mothers of those children who have been deported from Ukraine know that. They want justice. You and I want justice. Judgment must fall. Judgment will fall. And so there is no greater treasure than being found clothed in righteousness, shining like the sun on the day that judgment comes. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. And to show us that, Jesus tells us about hell. There's no greater thing that you need, or children need, or your partner, or your mum, or your brother, or your sister, or your friends, or your colleagues, your classmates, your neighbours, There is no greater treasure. We all want to be the person that discovers a gem in Great Aunt Bessie's attic in the loft, like a ring or a vase or a painting that she's left to gather dust. And you take it to an expert who casts their eye over it, and it turns out it's worth millions. We all want that, don't we? We are sitting on a gold mine. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. If you're like me and you struggle to feel that, this evening, this is something we've got to preach to ourselves. Ask yourself three questions. Who am I? I'm someone that's made in God's image, but I am fallen and I am broken. What is my deepest need? It is to be forgiven, to be rescued from judgment on that future day. What does God offer me in Jesus? Free and lavish forgiveness. A fresh start. Eternal bliss. Life in his presence, where I shine like the sun for all eternity. When you and I know the value of what it is that we have, it takes out all. Good mums do that with their children. They make all sorts of sacrifices. They give up jobs and bodies and time and energy, all to invest in their children. Or the kid, maybe a friend of yours who was brilliant at football at school, who invests their life playing. It changes their school timetable. It changes their diet. Changes their social calendar. Or the music virtuoso. They sacrifice all they have to practice. They give up traveling, give up their evenings. They give up washing up to protect their fingers. Also that they have a shot at playing at the Gewandhaus. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. It is worth giving you all for. Don't be afraid to go in. To go all in. Because ultimately, a church that is satisfied or complacent when those who are around us are going to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, that church has not understood the treasure that we have. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure. Let me pray. A year before David Livingstone died, he wrote in his journal on his 59th birthday, "My birthday, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee." Heavenly Father, today, tonight, we thank you for the kingdom that is the greatest treasure. We thank you for Jesus. We say that he is our King. He is our life. He is my all. Help us to dedicate our whole selves to you for your service. Amen.